Yo, what a privilege it is to be here with you guys. Like, just thinking of the journey that I've had and how God's worked in my life and the people that he's used and worked in my life through. What a privilege it is to be here. So, hello. So maybe for those of you who don't know me, and if you haven't had, I haven't had a chance to meet some of you guys. As a lot of you I do know. But for those of you who don't know, my name is Ross. My wife Margot is at the back there. And we got two little kitties, Anya and Ella. Anya turned 10 yesterday, which is quite exciting for her. And Ellie is about to turn 8 at the end of October. And it really is a privilege to be here. And also just my mom and dad are here this morning as well. Amazing. And my dad turns 80 at the end of this couple of weeks' time. So it's been it's actually been quite a week for us, special week. Just being part of what the Lord's doing in you guys, and there's been celebrations even just within our blood family. And yes, they are blood family, but actually you guys sometimes are closer than even blood family. You realize that to one another. You belong to one another. He's made us one, and I'm going to speak a little bit about that because I do feel the message that I want to share with you guys this morning is it's quite a simple message, but it's quite core to the gospel and quite core to what God wants to do in and through you guys. Does it make sense? So maybe just before I run away with myself, if I have to entitle what I want to share this morning, one phrase that hopefully sticks in your mind, because this phrase has helped me throughout my life, actually, and it's still helping me to this day. And that phrase and the title of this preach would be called Closing the Gap. You got that? Closing the Gap. So if you leave here this morning and you can't remember all the things I've said, I want you to remember that phrase, though, closing the gap, because you're going to be faced with moments in your life or seasons or times or situations that you're going to have to close the gap. And it'll probably open up a lot of what I've said to you as you just remember that, as it's done for me as well. So remember, if you do, just remember that. And I had to laugh because, we started with one of the scriptures this morning is already like probably the main scripture that I want to share around, and I'm going to dive in from there. But maybe to ask a question before I do is, who of you want to see the anointing and the blessing of God flowing in your life? Like powerfully, right? That not only in your life, but those around you would be affected. That you would see salvation come to those that don't know Jesus. You would see healings, deliverances, freedom, just to those around you and in your own life. Who wants that, right? Yes. The anointing of God. And there is, I do believe this, there is a way that we can position ourselves, actually, for the anointing to flow in our lives. There is a way that we can position ourselves in God's ways that anointing and His blessing begins to flow in us. And not only as individuals, but as in corporately as well, right? And there's the picture I had actually, and I'm maybe going to jump back to that just now, but there was a picture this morning of a ship. I think Colin had it. How that we set our sails to really set them to the wind of the Spirit. And this, that we could set our sails to catch the wind of what God wants to do through us. It's not you, it's Him through you. You do know that, right? All right, so just on that, maybe let's jump in and have a look at the scripture that I want to start with this morning, and you've already heard it, but let's just hang around that for a little bit. And that's Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. And Cor read it earlier, just about, it's talking about unity. We all know this scripture, but I want to jump into this a little bit and just see what it shows us and what it teaches us. So let's read it together. How good and pleasant, this is the NIV I've got here. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. From the Lord, for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Some translations say he commands a blessing. And really that phrase, he commands a blessing where there is unity. You've heard that? Comes from that, really. It comes from that scripture. It's kind of paraphrased all into that. So from this scripture, we realize that, you know, well, not only this, really. The Bible speaks about it in many different ways, and I want to jump into that now too. But unity is a big deal to God. It's a really big deal to God. Would you agree with me? I think when we look at God's ways and the theme and the story of the Bible, we see a story of unity, and Him. It's a gospel of unity, and maybe as I share as well, this principle of this truth is going to affect you on every single level. It's going to affect you in your personal life, as an individual. It's going to affect you in your marriages, husband, wife. It's going to affect you in your relationships and your friendship type relationships. It's going to affect you as a body as well, because whenever there's a human element, relationship comes into play. Would you agree with me? Wherever there's a human element in any way, whether it be one-to-one, one-to-few, one-to-many, there is this unity that God is desiring or calling us into, a deeper unity. There's a pretty wild prayer that Jesus prays in John 17. This is John 17, verses 20 to 23. And the prayer goes like this, I'm also from the NIV. He says, and this is Jesus praying this prayer. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Right? So now he's actually speaking about us. Those who will believe through their message. Them being the apostles and those, the disciples that are around him immediately, as they spread the gospel, as it begins to permeate through time itself and history to the very present day and age now, me and you, he's speaking to us here. "My prayer is for them, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And I love this. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." And the very reflection of his glory, the very reflection of his glory in him, is unity amongst us. See, there's a beautiful picture, eh? The very reflection of him, his nature, his glory, is the unity amongst us. And that's what I love about that picture, what Colin shared actually, because a ship, when I think of a ship, when I think of that picture, I think of, I'm a boat guy. I love boats. Some of you know me, and some of you know that I like boats. Right. So whenever I love the ocean, I love the sea, I love ships, I love boats, I absolutely have a passion for it, right? And when I think of those sailing ships, I think of this massive old, you guys seen Pirates of the Caribbean? I'm not endorsing the movie, but anyway, maybe you've seen the trailer for it, you know. there's those pirate ships, those massive, massive ships, right? That have got these multiple sails, huge masts and multiple sails with tons of rigging. And when those ships drop their sails, they know the wind's coming, but they drop their sails in anticipation. And all of a sudden, as the wind comes, it catches those sails, and poof, it's almost, you hear the noise. If you've ever been on a yacht, when they drop the sails and the wind hasn't hit yet, and all of a sudden the wind comes and it slaps the sails, poof, and there's this power, this massive power, tremendous power is made available to that boat to move that big boat forward, actually. And it's great. It sounds cool, and it is cool. But to behold that is a thing of glory. It's beautiful for me. But anyway, it's like to watch this picture, to watch this boat set off and these sails full with the wind. It is an absolute picture. It's glorious, man. Huh? Come on. I think I need a boat, yeah. Yeah. No, but really, it's one of the most glorious things that I could think of, just this absolute monster of a boat setting in sail. And is that not how God wants to reveal his glory to the world? Through us, the church, his people. This is his ship, actually. This is his boat. And the whole world is watching this boat. And as we set our sails, as we drop our sails, the Spirit comes and she begins to move. And all aboard, right? He wants everyone on that boat. And actually often the ministry and churches are referred to in the prophetic as a ship, as a vehicle moving forward. I just loved that picture. I couldn't get away from it. But really, we have a look in John 13, verses 34 to 35. It says this: "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And right, if you don't love loving one another, there's no unity amongst us. So there, by this, the world will know them. By this, the world will know who they are. George, by this, they will know him, by you. It's this anointing that breaks the yoke. It's this anointing that brings salvation. It's this anointing that brings healing. It's this anointing, this coming together, this unity, that oil that flows down Aaron's beard. And I'm going to show you, we're going to have a look now, just a little picture, but I really felt that for you as a congregation, as a people, this is what you have been called to. And as you grow, as you've come together, so for those of you who don't know, we were part of the Mossel Bay congregation from, when did you guys plant? 2016. Was that when Benny planted the morning? It's 2016. So we were part of that congregation already a couple of years before. And part of the plant to the morning here, actually. Who was in that morning plant when you guys started? Bryden was there. Trev, you weren't here yet. No, you weren't here yet. Daniel and Candace were part of that. Who else? It's just the two of you. Has everyone gone to PM? Wow. So we got to see that. We got to witness that. And even at times, like, I came and I led worship here and there, or it was like I'd just come onto eldership. I remember it was a great place to practice preaching. 30 people, very scary. But I would come and we were part of that. But to see how the Lord has begun to add to you, has begun to work, move through you guys. As a congregation, as you grow and grow in influence in this town, in this city, in this area, God wants to hold you up. There's this beautiful picture of His glory, right? You know, we often sing that song, "Show Me Your Glory." You know that song? You know, I know that song. I'm not going to sing it now. And I don't know about you guys, but I used to think, you know, tongues of fire and His glory, and it's like, what does it look like? And, you know, you think of Moses tucked away in the cleft of the rock and the Lord moving past him, and there is that to the Lord. But actually, His glory is, this is His glory. Look around. Look around. Look at one another. Look at what He's doing in your lives. The miracles sitting next to each other. That is His glory, actually. And He wants to use that to reach the city, reach this region. And through you guys, you're going to see people, many people coming to know Him. Amen. So I really wanted to encourage you guys, actually, in that. Like, that's why this, it's pretty simple, right? This is a pretty simple word. But it's so central to what God wants to do through you guys. You've got to keep coming back to the simplicity. You've got to keep coming back to the simple things, because they are simple, but they're difficult. Right? So, practically, how do we live in unity, this unity that God desires? Right? And I know it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to get excited about it. But practically, what does it look like? Because if we can't flesh it out and work it through, it's kind of just, it slips through our fingers. And I understand what I'm saying. So what does it look like? Well, I think firstly, if I think about that, the first thing we need to realize or understand is a good thing to understand the enemy tactics. It's a good thing to understand how the enemy works and what the bigger picture looks like, right? And I want to maybe share this with you. There's two ministries that go on or happen. And let me explain to you what I'm saying now. Maybe let's read the scripture quickly. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 to 19. This is all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So if you read that scripture, you will see that we have been given the same ministry that Jesus gave. He reconciles us to the Father, And we have a job now, responsibility to reconcile people to the Father as well. But now, remember, he's just said, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. If we are in him and he is in us, we're also reconciling people to one another. If this is the body of Christ, Ephesians talks about the fullness of Christ made known through his body. This is Jesus' body. This is Jesus. He's the head. He's leading us. But this is his body on the earth. So there's a reconciling to that as well and to one another. Not only, you know, sometimes we forget that and we just go, oh, we just got to, yes, we do have to point people to Jesus, but how? Andrew often talks about, he shares through the church is the vehicle that God has chosen to bring salvation to the earth. It's by Jesus and through what he's done, but this is the vehicle. You guys are that ship that's taking us somewhere, right? And He's given us this ministry of reconciliation, but also we see in Hebrews, this is what Jesus is doing now because we look to him as this perfect example. We look at Jesus in Hebrews 7, verses 25. He says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. So Jesus, right now, what is he doing? Right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for me and for you. And what does intercede mean? Intercede means to intervene on behalf of. Interesting. It's to almost argue somebody else's case for them. A lawyer would do that, actually, to some degree. It does talk about him being our advocate as well, the Holy Spirit being our advocate. But this is what Jesus is doing. He's interceding on our behalf all the time. So we've also been given this ministry. We've been given this ministry to intercede for others, to reconcile others to the Father and to each other as well. So we see in the Bible there's this ministry of, and I'll call it intercession and reconciliation, because they go hand in hand together. They can't be on their own. But there's another ministry that happens as well. And it's not such a good one. It's a ministry of accusation and condemnation. And it's not through Jesus. This ministry does not come through Jesus, actually. And Revelations 12, verses 10, I'm reading it from the ESV, says this. It says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Who's he speaking about? The devil, Satan. So it would seem, and we see in Job as well, that Satan's able to appear before the Lord, and I'm not going to get into a deep theological discussion about which heaven and how far and where we're going with all of that, but it would seem that the devil can appear before God and has the ability to address him and to speak to him too. So now what we see in heaven is these two ministries going on, one of accusation and condemnation. He's accusing, he's pointing, he says, hold their sin against them, look at them, condemning them to death, condemning us to death. And we see the other, which is Jesus, interceding on our behalf. Father, I did it. I'm righteous. I'm perfect. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. And he's praying for us, and he's interceding for us, and he's reconciling us through what he did on the cross to the Father. Do you see these two ministries? You need to see these two ministries for this to sink into your head to understand this. Are you with me? You guys are right. I'm moving fast, sorry, but I do feel this is we've got to lay this foundation so that you will understand what I'm about to show you guys now. And I want to show you through an illustration, maybe just a little skit. Can we do that? I'm going to call a couple of people up. Just hang on a second. I want to move this out the way. Put it over there. So let's get that scripture. Can we get that scripture back up there? That Psalm scripture, Psalm 133. Let's get you can get Chaddy up here maybe because you do lead the congregation. You're a good example. Sorry, bro. You can stand over there. Yeah. Actually, you need to stand one down. Let's get somebody who looks like Jesus. Oh, sorry, I haven't met you at the back there. Huh? Yeah. Fernando, can I borrow you for a second? Oh, yeah, whatever. Come. you, You get to. It's a high standard. You get to be Jesus for the day. So why don't you just stand there, Chad? Just stand there. Just position yourself under him there, right? So now the household of God is government and governance and order in it, right? It's the household of God, like any house does. Father's the head of the home. He leads his family, protects, he provides, he does all of these things. So the same in the house of God. And God has given us leadership within the church. He's given us elders, deacons, community leaders. There is a sense of order, right? Not importance or value, it's merely function. Okay? And how God builds his church and what he does through us. So here's a good picture here of we read that scripture, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now we've only got Chad. We need some more guys here. Maybe Dan's one of the elders. Can we get Dan here? And we get who am I going to ask? Maybe Kian, you can come stand here as well. You want to? He's looking at me with big eyes. Are you scared? You want to come up here? What's your name? Ermery. Nice to meet you. And I'm just maybe a deacon. Let's get a deacon. One of the deacons come here. Pierre, you deacon. Yes, you are. Sorry, you're not any gold. It wasn't planned. It was an accident. I can get your wife instead. Maybe jokes. So just in a sense, this just represents the church. You understand what I'm saying, right? We've got leadership and we've got saints and we've got everyone partner. Now, I want you guys to huddle a little bit. Maybe this is where you're going to be a bit awkward if you're like, and there is maybe a little closer, man. There's a little. Now, the reality of this is when we read that scripture, it speaks of, whoa, I need that water. It speaks about the anointing that gets poured down upon the high priest who's Aaron, right? So Aaron's this guy, right? Come on, lean a little forward. No, Jax, I won't do it. Save my God, man. We've got sound equipment behind you here. So if the anointing falls on Jesus, who is our priest's head, actually, comes through and flows into the church. Chad represents this, in a sense, the Father in his house, and he leads this part of the body, this part of the vineyard, and with those around him, the closer they are together, that as that anointing pours, would you agree with me? If I pour enough of it on him, it's going to splash all over them, right? It's going to. It's just a great picture of what the anointing looks like and how. You're going to get wet. Now, that's what he says, where there's unity, I command my blessing, and it flows down Aaron's head. It flows into the body. Jesus being the head, the body, flows into the body, right? Now, the thing is, when something happens that causes disunity or a break in unity, what happens? What happens? Huh? Sorry. Just losing my place for a second. I went blank. Break, you stay there. No, stay there. I want you to stay there. So say now, for example, come Pierre, tuck in there, bro. Pierre, yes, no, I'm not giving you my water. So say, for example, this is close unity. The body's moving together, and if something happens, and Pierre picks up an offense. This is exactly what begins to happen. He no longer has unity with his brother. He begins to, there's a gap begins to form here, right? And how does it offense look? And I want to maybe quickly just look at that. I mean, it can look like so many different things. There are tons of different examples. But it's something as simple as this, maybe. I can use this example quickly with you. You guys are a body and everyone's active in it. Somebody can bring a word on a Sunday, right? You bring a word on a Sunday, and have you ever done that? You brought your word, and you like lay it at the elders' feet as they lead the meeting, and no one releases your word. Or the elders don't release your word, or they don't let you release your word. And you're like, let's say Pierre brings a prophetic word. He feels the Lord burning on his heart, like this is for the whole congregation. The Lord wants to take us in the direction. Pierre brings a word. He lays it at, so Dan was leading the meeting this morning, lays it at Dan's feet, and Dan's like, yeah, maybe. But maybe not. And he's trying to figure his way through the meeting, trying to hear the Lord. And Pierre goes, hang on a second. What? Something in his heart all of a sudden pops up. Why didn't you use my word? Now, Pierre has a decision. because I like to call this, and this is the picture, a seed has been dropped in the ground there. And that seed, I'm going to talk about a seed of bitterness. And here's the scripture for it. Hebrews 12, verses 15. I like the NLT version for this. Sorry, guys. It's going to be a while. Just stick around. You got that? Hebrews 12, verses 15. It says, look after each other. Love this. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Now, this is the grace of God towards one another. We live the grace of God towards another. We extend the grace of God towards one another. That none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up among you, corrupting many. So now what's happened here is this offense has been a seed that's dropped in the ground and it's beginning to grow into a tree. And eventually that thing, left unattended or watered by his failure to actually believe the best of and love and live in the fruits of the Spirit, this seed's going to become a big tree. And eventually he's actually not even going to be able to see them anymore, right? He's going to struggle. So say I'm that tree. He's going to struggle to get through me to get to them. Because there's this sense of he's allowed something in his heart to grow, to take root, poisonous. It's taken root and it's begun to corrupt. Not only him, but it's actually begun to affect them as well. So now when the anointing flows and the blessing is there, is anything going to splash on him? He's stepped out of what God's plan. And actually, thanks guys, you want to take a seat. Don't slip on the water. The anointing. So you with me? It's a picture that sticks in our head. And if we can just think of life like this together, actually, because it doesn't just happen like that. It happens on multiple different levels with many different people. Like, you got all these different relationships that have been held together in the Lord, supernaturally by His Spirit. But if we begin to allow offenses to creep in and begin to push us apart, and that will affect the anointing of the Lord and His blessing actually flowing through us and ultimately Him doing what He wants to do through you. So that's why I feel that's such an important, pertinent word for you guys, because as the Lord wants to work through you, there's such a sense of life in this congregation. Can I just say that? I've been here this week, the lack of time I've had with the meeting with the guys, the prayer meeting on Friday morning, the prayer meeting downstairs, it's electricity in the air. It's power. You can feel the Holy Spirit wants to move powerfully amongst you. I feel, and I said to the guys on Friday morning, I feel like this tremendous power is being made available to you. But for you to be able to flow in that, you've got to guard the unity. You've got to guard your hearts, right? And I want to just quickly have another, maybe one or two other examples of what that looks like. So, I mean, there's 100 different stories of what can cause offense. And I know sometimes being very practical and naming them and actually jumping into them can help, because that actually goes, oh yeah, that happened, right? So, you guys are a family, and when one of you gets sick, I'm assuming you guys make meals for each other or try and cover the other person in love and just help where you can. Am I right? Right. So that's in unity. It flows from that. And hey, I just can imagine some of you are great at that and you're pouring your lives into that and you've made a million meals. Right? And you, every time there's a meal roster going out, you're the first one on it and you love it. Just your way to serve. Here's the thing though. What happens when you get sick? And everybody forgets. Or doesn't make a meal roster for you. And now you're the one that's pouring out your life into others, but you're the one that's not, it hasn't been reciprocated. Is that how the kingdom works? This is a little side note. Is that how the kingdom works? No. Jesus doesn't expect anything in return. Well, yes, He does. He expects our lives, but but you know what I'm saying? There's nothing. This is not a bartering system. Even in our sin, Jesus came and died on the cross for us, right? So are you expecting a return, or are you loving without at any return expected. So when that moment comes, and is your mind going to, I'm counting on your hand how many times you've made meals. Like, oh my goodness, I made like 10 meals and like I haven't even received one. I'm just being very practical because I know this happens, right? This doesn't happen here. Hey? And then you start thinking, oh, no man, there's no love in this church. Huh? That thought, it comes, hey? There's no love in this church. Oh, they preach hospitality, they preach care, they preach love. They tell everybody we're a family, but actually we're not a family. Because no one's loving me. Am I right? Does that happen? No, come on, guys. Got a little bit. Is that nobody experienced that? Yeah? You got to wrestle these things, right? No, I'm not going to feel like that. You got to submit your thoughts to Jesus. You got to let go of those things. Love covers. No, man. They've been busy. I can guarantee you they probably have missed it, man. All their kids are sick. And now they must make us a meal as well. Are we covering each other? Are we covering each other's sin, actually? Because they may have dropped the ball. They may, because no one's perfect. It may have been just complete ignorance or naivety or whatever it may be. But they may have dropped the ball. There may be sin involved, actually. Are we loving them enough to cover them in these moments? Right? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come and to rip out that seed of bitterness that may be planted, and we're going to close the gap? See, that's the gap. Are we going to close the gap? Are we going to go towards this? Are we going to move towards each other and fight for unity? Because unity doesn't just come. It's got to be maintained. There's an effort. There's an effort in fighting for unity. And if this is how the Lord wants to move through you guys, this needs a lot of focus. But the focus is not, like we said earlier, we were praying, the focus is not the problems. The focus is on the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to highlight stuff in us and Him do the work through us. But when we are challenged and faced with these things, these defenses, these challenges, we address them and we move towards them and we close that gap. And often, me and my wife, we will be speaking in a situation or in a conversation, and she's caught me like this because we've spoken many times of this. She'll look at me and she goes, is that closing the gap? Oh, it's like a knife in my heart. Because I know what that means. Am I increasing the gap or am I closing the gap? I've got a couple of other examples, but I'm not going to go there. I just want to maybe touch on this before we close. There's two sides to closing this gap. And you can really dive into it, and we can talk about wrestling out from Philippians and Galatians, wrestling our thoughts into submission to Christ and feeding the Spirit and not the flesh. We can go there too, but it's just being aware of this thing is the first step, is the first part of the battle won, right? But there are two sides to closing the gap. There's the approach and there's receiving, right? And I'm trusting that even as I'm speaking now here with us, that the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us and He's bringing, there may be things in your heart that He wants to bring to recollection actually even. There may be little shadows in your heart. There's seeds. Sometimes I call them a shadow. What is a shadow? A shadow is an area where there isn't light, right? And the Bible says in 1 John, it says, live in the light as He is in the light so that we can have true fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus covers us from our sin. So there's an element of, if we hide things and we don't move towards things and we don't deal with those things, we keep them in the darkness. And actually, the grace of God that He speaks about there that we should be accessing doesn't flow into those areas of our life. So how do we deal with them? How are we going to get the bus? By moving towards it. So here's the thing, it's the approach. Remember I said there's two sides to this, closing the gap. There's the approach. There's something in my heart that it's a niggle. It's a shadow. I feel like there's something that's causing a gap to grow between my brothers and my sisters. And maybe Pierre, or maybe who was it? Dan was the one that initiated that. And I need to go, Pierre, I need to go to Dan and say, listen, Dan, this is what I felt. There may be moments where actually the Holy Spirit is just saying to you, actually you just need to cover him. Actually, you don't need to go to him. actually you just need to believe the best of him and wrestle that. But if you can't get victory over that thing, if you can't wrestle it and make it subject to Christ, bring it then into the light and say to, hey, Dan, like, help me. And always the approach is this, help me understand, help me see. I want to have unity with you. I want to love you. It's not an accusation, remember. It's the intercession. Because the one's demonic. The one's heavenly. We're either going to engage with the demonic ministry of accusation and pointing fingers and condemnation, condemning people. You guys are like this. Or we're going to engage in what Jesus does, and we're going to bridge that gap between one another. We're going to intercede for one another, and we're going to reconcile one another towards each other. Another thing is the receiving part. So you could be Dan and going, and this is what the Lord's going to be doing you in this process. Well, Pierre comes and speaks to him, and it puts its finger on every maybe little crack or insecurity in his own life, and he jumps into defense mode, self-justification. Not like that. When receiving a conversation from a brother or a sister to bridge that gap, to close that gap, be gentle, be humble, listen. Even if they're wrong, cover their sin now. Even if they are coming to you from a point of brokenness, even if they are coming to you from their insecurities, cover their shortcomings. Be mature in the Lord. Because Jesus, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. So there's two sides to this closing the gap. It's the going to and it's the receiving as well. And I want to maybe just say this last thing in closing quickly. There's this subtle hints can be very dangerous. And you can actually be guilty of widening the gap between other people. I don't know if you were, and that's actually the definition of that in the Bible's division, becoming divisive. But we can very easily fall into that trap. And I'll say it like this, and this actually happened to me, and I'll maybe use this quickly as an example. There was a community of ours, I'm not going to say what congregation we were in, and one of the people in the community, they were broken, their house was broken into, right? So there was a lot of trauma, a lot of fear, and like a lot of, you know, a lot of was going on in their life. And one of the guy that was leading the community and one or two of the other guys in the church had gone to pray with them. There was a lot of support. I watched the community from the distance, kind of just making sure that the body was healing itself, that it was doing what it was meant to do. Because not everything has to come through the lead elder, you know that. Not anything has to come through the elders, you know that. Like, the body can heal itself, right? In this picture, if the eldership's leading the church, they're not the head, Jesus the head, but you know what I mean for the sake of the picture. The head doesn't have to think to make the body better, does it? No. The body automatically kicks into gear and starts healing itself. The different parts of the body, the white blood cells, the red blood, all these different things come together and they start healing themselves. It's a beautiful picture of the body. The body should be like it. It doesn't have to, healing and all these things don't have to go, that we don't have to think it the whole time, right? Anyway, so in the situation, I'm on all the community groups and I just watched. There was one particular lady, her language was this, and I want to believe the best of this as well, of her in the situation as well. So I'm not saying her heart was wrong, I don't know. I'm believing it's not. Don't think it was. But her words were not helpful. So watch your words. Because her words were this. Surely the elders have come to pray for you. And it may seem like innocent. But in that moment, I just felt, hang on a second. This is something a man is trying to grab at this thing. He said, why haven't they done it? Well, why haven't you done it? Right? And by those words, surely the elders could have done it. Well, surely your community has brought you a dinner. Surely, you know? God looks at the heart. So what's really going on in your heart? Maybe, surely, maybe, yeah? Or maybe, surely not. And in that thing, you can actually, so what she's done, she's sown possible seed of bitterness into that person's heart. Yeah, why haven't they? Maybe the elders haven't got to her. Oh, why, yeah, why haven't they? Instead of covering the sin, instead of covering the problem and actually being the one to fix it, she's pointing a finger, and now all of a sudden, they're supposed to, yo, why haven't the elders come to pray for me? Well, yo, why haven't they? There is no love in this church. Yo, why haven't they brought me a meal? And by your words, even your secondhand words, maybe you're not even, your subtle hints, you can cause that to happen in other people's lives as well, and actually cause division within the body. So, what am I wanting to say to you guys? Guard the unity of the saints, because this is what God wants to work. This is how God wants to work through you guys and in you guys in the town of George, in this region, as he really wants to bless people, as he wants to bring people into salvation. Amen. Amen.